Hey everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Are you new to investing and have savings you need to protect? Right now, the Middle East war, the Ukraine war, and maybe Taiwan soon. You need a playbook that is safe. Allocate some gold right now. Shield your savings with Noble Gold Investments IRA. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com. When fear reigns, gold protects the wise. Noble Gold Investments offers a free 5-ounce America Beautiful coin with new IRAs this month. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com right now. noblegoldinvestments.com, the only gold company I trust. Hey, everybody. Time for the Charlie Kirk Show. Happy Monday. It's an Ask Me Anything episode. For the first part of the episode, I traditionally take your questions. And then I had actually run and catch a flight. So we thought it was a great opportunity to put one of the question answers I did live. So enjoy this two-part episode. There's kind of a break in the middle. By the way, become a member if you are supportive of our show and you enjoy what we're doing. Become a member and listen to all of our content advertiser-free. It's charliekirk.com. Introducing all new members-only content, charliekirk.com. And become an exclusive member. That's charliekirk.com. And become an exclusive member. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. That's freedom@charliekirk.com. I love hearing from you. And again, become a member at charliekirk.com and click on the members tab. Attend America Fest, everybody. It is the biggest event of the year. I think you'll really enjoy it. That is amfest.com, amfest.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. This is a really important one here, actually. This is great. Christian nationalism. What is that? It sounds so dark. I had a Jewish friend of mine say, Charlie, I don't understand why people are so afraid of the term Christian nationalism. I like Christians and I like nationalists. I said, well, you're very kind. It's very open-minded of you. I agree, by the way. I don't care. But they're trying to say it's a dog whistle for Nazi. So anytime you hear Christian nationalists, they're trying to dog whistle for Nazi. And they're going after Mike Johnson. Now, all cards on the table. I'm not happy with Mike Johnson. He's a disappointment. The CR is a disgrace. It's an insult. It gives Chuck Schumer the keys to the government. And I said this before, Mike Johnson, if you're going to keep doing this, I am not in any way offended. Just go back and lead a Bible study. It's fine. We need that. We need people to do that. This is warfare. I'm not going to hold any animus. We're not going to come after you. We're not going to call you names. Just go run a youth group, man. Mike Johnson, though, to his credit, is unafraid to articulate a biblical worldview. I think that's really promising. I think it's great. It's a lot of talk. I mean, we have enough people doing that, but it's good to hear the Speaker of the House do that. Michael Steele, one of the worst RNC chairs ever, makes a fool of himself on MSNBC. But it starts with this. So the first clip was 1:22 of Speaker Johnson talking about a decline in faith, a decline in church membership, which is legitimate. People have asked me before, Charlie, what does success look like? I say, we need to get church attendance to go up. We need people's spirituality to be taken more seriously. We need suicides to go down. Michael Steele is a great reason, by the way, why we should never allow affirmative action into the conservative movement. Michael Steele was only picked as RNC chair under Obama because he was black. And white Republicans are like, oh my goodness, let's have a black chair of the RNC. Let's go pick Michael Steele. He's a moron. He's not a smart person. It's the only reason he was picked. And there was also like, I don't think he left the RNC with any money. He was very unsuccessful as RNC chair. He was obviously only picked because Obama was either getting elected or was already elected. Okay. So let's start with what Speaker Johnson said. Just to be perfectly fair, with all the backdrop, not happy with Speaker Johnson, but I love this clip. I think this is worthy of praise. Play cut 1:22.
I mean, I'd say I'd preach to the choir on this Zoom call, or maybe the honor choir. You all know the terrible state that we're in. The faith in our institutions is as low as it's ever been in the history of our nation. The culture is so dark and depraved that it almost seems irredeemable at this point. The church attendance in America dropped below 50% for the first time in our history since they began to measure the data 60 years ago. And the number of people who do not believe in absolute truth is now above the majority for the first time. So 1 in 3 teen girls contemplated suicide last year. 1 in 4 high school students identifies as something other than straight. We're losing the country.
We are losing the country. That's right. We are losing the country. So what's so controversial about that clip? Well, Morning Joe decides to launch into a tirade. I listened to Morning Joe the other day for about 30 minutes on my drive into work because I went in early to pre-tape some stuff. And it's like hard to believe it passes as a television show. You got Al Sharpton there, sitting there, and when they call on him, he makes no sense. Everything's racist. Now give me a dollar. And then they go to Joe Scarborough. You know, those Christians are just the worst. And then Mika says, Joe, do you support a woman's right to choose? Where's my dollar? Let's go to cut 121.
I was saying to the speaker, could you, before you open your mouth the next time, could you go and read what the founders said about religion, number one, in this country, as they were forming it. But number two, go read their stories.
Right.
And understand what kind of men they were. They weren't the kind of Christians that you think they were, that you've made them out to be. The fact is, no one, whether you are 30 years old or 90 years old, want to hear that from a political leader.
You don't want to hear what? You don't want to hear that church attendance is down? You're right, actually, Michael Steele. They were far more serious Christians than most of our own politicians are. True or false? John Adams, one of the founding fathers and architects of our Constitution, said that the Constitution was written solely for a moral and religious people, is wholly inadequate for the people of any other. Now, Michael Steele continues to say that people don't want to hear politics in church. He continues, and then Joe Scarborough cites Russell Moore, of all people. Yeah, that, we should take our advice from Russell Moore. What a moron. But let's play into this. Is it true that church attendance is going down because people don't want to hear about politics in church? There's two different realities happening right now in American Christianity. One, are churches like Jack Hibbs that are exploding and they can't find rooms big enough to fit all the people that want to attend their church. Like Rob McCoy and Steve Smotherman, Pastor Juergen. I travel to these churches and it's unbelievable, because they take strong biblical stands against a depraved culture. And then there are the weak pastors, like Brian Broderson, who inherited a massive empire, Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, and just recently had to sell a beautiful property in California that was the Calvary Chapel College, and had to sell it to a resort because he can't get the financing and the attendance because he went woke. Jeremiah 29:7. Seek the welfare of the nation that you are in, because your welfare is tied to your nation's welfare. One example, my pastor, Rob McCoy's church, increased 4 to 5 times during COVID when he spoke out against COVID mandates. People want answers from their pastor. They do not want passivity. They don't want kowtowing to the woke agenda, to the trans agenda. And they're going after Speaker Johnson in a very weird way. But just so we're clear, the founding fathers were serious Christians. Many of them understood Hebrew. 55 out of 56 of the signers of the Declaration of Independence were Bible-believing, church-attending Christians. George Washington was a faithful, pious man. They put Leviticus on the Liberty Bell. They quoted Deuteronomy more than any other source, secular or religious, in the formation of the founding era. And that is a Harvard professor study. Play cut 123.
I mean, Leonard Leo is an extremist, and he's an extremist in his views about the Constitution and Catholicism.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an extreme view of Catholicism that has put extremists on the court. But I've got to say, if he's worried about pews emptying out, talk to young people. And so many will tell you, and Russell Moore's talked about this with Christianity Today, they're emptying out because they don't want to go to a church where preachers worship Donald Trump instead of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So he represents the fullness of the emergence of the Christian nationalism that sees America through a very different gospel than the one that the man they profess to follow, Jesus, preached.
So there's a lot there. But hey, I do talk to young people, Joe. AmFest. At America Fest, we're going to have thousands and thousands and thousands of young people searching for truth. Show me any boring, ineffective, woke Christian ministry like CRU, C-R-U, which has recently gone woke. Ali Stuckey did an amazing podcast on it. They just did a massive LGBTQ compromise. I'm going to talk about that. Can they fill the rooms that we fill up at Turning Point USA? When we go to UCLA, we nearly had every single chair filled, and that is with ridiculous totalitarian suppression of the UCLA Gestapo there. When we go to campuses, we can't find rooms big enough to fit the people that want to hear Candace Owens and I. We're just booking this room next week, next year at a campus soon to be announced, 2,600 seats, and we're afraid it's not going to be big enough. No, Joe, you want to reach young people, you speak the truth. You speak the truth politically, culturally, theologically, and spiritually. You don't water it down and go to the middle. No, young people want the truth because they are swimming in an ocean of lies. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk, your exciting news to share about saving babies by providing ultrasounds. Right now, there is a dollar-for-dollar match doubling the number of babies you'll save with preborn. There are babies alive today about to celebrate their first Christmas because of what we did together a year ago at this time providing ultrasounds. And right now, you can save twice as many babies. Maybe you're already wondering about end-of-the-year giving and want to give every dollar, get the most results. Or maybe you just want to know that a girl making this decision deserves the truth, so that next year at this time, she's picking out a Christmas stocking for her baby's first Christmas. It's beautiful to think about. Your gift of $15,000, somebody out there can do it, I'm sure, will provide not one, but two ultrasound machines. $280 saves 10 babies. $28 a month saves a baby a month for less than a dollar a day. And right now, any gift saves twice as many babies with preborn. I'm a donor to this organization. We love this organization with the Kirk family. Call 833-850-2229. Full endorsement, amazing people. Click on the preborn banner at charliekirk.com. Go to charliekirk.com right now and click on the preborn banner. They glitch, liberals do. And I figured it out over a period of time. You see, being on these college campuses, whenever you mention Christianity or the Bible, they've been so programmed through documentaries, through music, through movies, to have a negative view of Christianity. I want any one of you to send me a major motion picture where a pastor is framed positively, not Mark Wahlberg's recent one. Any recent major picture where the Christian is the good guy, not a hypocrite, not double, none of that stuff. Can you show me a single one? Maybe there is. And if there is, great. I would happily add it to the list. I could tell you hundreds of films, documentaries, narratives of, well, the pastor is cheating on the wife and the priest is raping kids and they're covering it up. They've been programmed. And they are afraid that pastors or Christians being in government are going to tell them how to live. Because that's the worst thing ever, right? Someone telling them how to live. Which, again, when I'm on these campuses, I don't know how effective this is, but I can't help but tell you how to live. You guys sat and were locked down for 9 months wearing a cloth, forced to get a gene-altering mRNA vaccine. So don't give me this crap that you're worried about someone telling you how to live. Maybe that they didn't care because the pot and the booze was aplenty and they were medicated and they got money from the government. The very same people that are hemming and hawing and yakking, oh, you know, I want no one to tell me how to live. They were perfectly fine having the government tell them exactly what to do for the last couple of years. I think it's all a bunch of nonsense. They want us to forget about COVID. That's a very important truism right now. They want to whitewash the history of what happened during COVID. Do you notice how little we talk about it? Don't forget we're living through a color revolution, and it started during 15 days to slow the spread. 15 days to slow the spread was the beginning of the cultural revolution. Have the House Republicans done their job going after Anthony Fauci? I don't think so. I do not think so. Have they done their job investigating Pfizer, AstraZeneca, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson? I don't think so. There's been some heroes. There's been some wins here or there. The new narrative is anti-Semitism. And that needs to be addressed. That's a moral poison. That's a toxin. But how quickly we have forgotten. Where's the justice for COVID? And then you have Xi Jinping, who is a legitimate dictator, bad guy, up there with Mussolini and Mao Zedong, who gets a hero's welcome, and he was the one that at the very least knew COVID was spreading and didn't tell the world, and then all these scientists disappeared. So we have COVID because of China. It came from China. It is the China virus. Has China paid at all for COVID? Has China paid the world reparations for what happened there? No. Instead, we pay China. Just that one single issue. Did a single leader, when they welcomed Xi Jinping, mention, like, actually, time out. Yeah, welcome to America. We got rid of all the homeless for you. Can we talk about the virus? Can we talk about the fact that the whole world bankrupted itself, inflated our currency, depleted the dollar? Our kids are killing themselves. They can't. Their speech is delayed. It honestly shows the lie of all the left's moral posturing. They'll boycott Mississippi and Tennessee. Like Gavin Newsom is tweeting about like naked gay people or something. It's very weird. It's very suspicious, honestly. Makes you wonder about Gavin Newsom. He's like really fired up. Where is this whole group chat about Gavin Newsom's? Gavin Newsom tweets out, "A city in Tennessee is banned being gay in public. This is just the beginning. We have to call this out." First of all, that's not true. It's about being naked and gay in public, or just naked. It's public nudity, which, of course, obviously goes for the standard operating procedure in San Francisco. So he's, you know, there's all about like, oh, my goodness, Tennessee is the worst. Hey, Gavin, you just welcomed Xi Jinping. You just made out with him, basically. You went to his home and did a photo shoot on the Chinese wall, Great Wall of China, mowed over some poor Chinese kids who were playing basketball, like, boom. But you're worried about public nudity laws of some city in Tennessee or book bans, aka pornography?
Balance of nature, changing the world one life at a time.
I try to take care of myself. I try to eat right. And I love fruits and vegetables. I'd rather have them than anything else, but I know I don't get nearly enough. So I thought I'll try it for 2 months and no harm, no foul. If it doesn't work after that, then I've tried it and at least I know. Within 2 weeks, I noticed a huge difference in my energy, sleeping better at night, and just energy. I would get up in the morning and get up, not just sit around. You guys have got to try this. You have to try it. You owe it to yourself to try it.
The wife and I both think it's done a lot of good. We both think it's, you know, it's improved your overall day-to-day how you feel. And we've turned everybody onto it. Our kids are on it. We've got brothers and sisters that are on it. We've got some neighbors we've turned onto it. So we're very pleased with the product and the results. It's not like you're Superman, but you definitely know you're healthier. You're going to lose weight. And I've never heard that said in any of the commercials, but by golly, you do.
I work in a school, so I'm around like 1,000 kids a day constantly. And so I wash my hands and use alcohol on them probably 100 times a day or better. And my hands are always cracking open and splitting. And I did not have that this entire winter. And I bet you anything, this is me, I bet you anything it's balance of nature. It's the only thing I've done different. Like the guy on your commercial says, I'm going to keep on taking it the rest of my life. And I feel the same way. It's going really good. I mean, I feel better. Got more energy and, you know, I can go through my day better.
Start your journey to better health with Balance of Nature. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com to get 35% off your first preferred order. That's 1-800-246-8751. Go to balanceofnature.com or call 1-800-246-8751 and get this special offer by using discount code CHARLIE.
All right, everybody. Now's a great time to become a member. That is charliekirk.com and click on the members tab. Now enjoy my question and answer. Yes,
all right.
Ma'am.
All right. For those of us working in public education, for those of us with our kids still in public education, especially in Washington State, just pulling out and leaving is not always feasible, especially in rural areas. Yeah. There's not always a lot of choice. What is the best advice that you can give those of us who are working in that system and trying to help our kids through that system?
It's a great and important question. So I'm going to just challenge one part of it, not you, just the idea, is that if you are willing to borrow money for your kid to go to college one day, why would you not go into debt for elementary school or for high school? Let's just think about it, right? because I will make an argument. It's far more important to have a solid elementary or high school, right? If you are not in the place to do it, I totally get it. So I will get to that. But I would exhaust all the options of religious, homeschool, co-op, all that. We do have Turning Point Academy that makes it easy, and we have tons of these partnership hybrid schools. But if you have to send them to government, I went to government schools, so I get it. I had to go to government school, so I'm not even talking down about it. But I'm not sending my daughter to government school, not at gunpoint, right? Whatever it takes, I'm not going to do it. But I'm not trying. I understand it's not realistic. You have to be a nonstop watchdog every day of curriculum, of textbooks, and you cannot take a day off. And I know you are. It's, what'd you learn today? What's your teacher's name? And you should be emailing your teacher all the time, recommendations and suggestions, and what's the curriculum. That's actually more helpful than always showing up at school boards. So hear me out. If you have a seventh grader, an eighth grader, get to know the teachers by name, personalize it, and then if you see any sort of radical elements, nip it in the bud and challenge it, preempt it with your kid at home, okay? And then you put that teacher on notice or watch. You're like, wow, that's a lot of work. Oh, yeah. You're not just sending Johnny off to government school because they might become gay, trans, or liberal, or three of them, okay? How you're gay and trans is also really weird to me. I don't understand that, but it's a new thing apparently, right? So does that make sense? Is that kind of finding those individual teacher relationships, knowing them all by name, communicating to them, and also, you know, instead of necessarily always coming in with spice, try some sugar, right? Where it's like, okay, I'm going to like bring them cookies the first day of every quarter, or like, you know what I mean? Like try to win over these teachers, and maybe they'll lay off on some of the radicalism stuff. Especially in local rural districts, this approach can work, right? Where they say, okay, here's both sides of it. All you're asking for is a de-radicalized curriculum. But I will just want to caution you. As long as your kid goes to school in the state of Washington, they can be kidnapped on the trans issue without you knowing. Look for clues, but there are hundreds of examples now of parents that had no idea that their kids were in transition closets and all that. And so pray and think about that. Hope that's helpful. Thank you. Yep.
Okay, Charlie, I want to talk about, I have one comment for you about the sunshine thing, and then I have a question for you. But last night, it was kind of disturbing the way you presented it last night with the sunshine thing, because you actually used percentages. You remember that? 3% versus 97%. And so I took that on today, and I went and did the math. And it's okay if you're part of the 97%, but the 3% in Washington State is 234,000 people. So we can take back the state with 234,000 people. And for the rest of you, there's a whole bunch of candidates, including myself, that are running, and you can write checks. Not just to Mike Lindell, but to our campaign. So, Charlie, it's obvious, and we know, right, that COVID was a door for them for globalists to get what they want, and the left and the leftists yep. to get what they want. And we've been living through that, like you were just talking about. So in the sort of the color revolution. So what do you see happening over the next year, two, three? You think climate change is going to be in there? Yeah. What do you see happening? Thank you.
Great question. So let me just repeat what I said last night. History shows us that 3% of the population can create all the change. And you think about it, the radical left has proved this to be true. Only 3% of the population believes the trash that they put forward, but it can move the Overton window, and it is the activist class. And so you could even go down to 1% and be even more like stringent on it, where if you look in Washington, I know there are 50 to 60,000 remnant patriots in this state that will not give up and will not give in. That can change a state, everybody. But it requires activism and ballot harvesting and precinct committee signups. So I just want to tell you that you might feel outnumbered, but you're going to have 3% versus 3%. That their 3% versus our 3%, and I think our numbers are actually increasing. So what issues do I think are kind of coming up? So climate change is a biggie. They're going to try to use climate change to recreate COVID-style lockdowns in the next couple of years. So I live in Arizona. It's hot in Arizona. It's actually really nice here. Everyone's like, it's so hot. This is not hot. You don't understand. And something really freaked me out recently. I'm going to do a whole show on this tomorrow on my podcast. So Katie Hobbs, who's an illegitimate governor of Arizona, by the way. Carrie Lake should be governor of Arizona. But that's a separate issue. But it drives me nuts. And she, out of nowhere, signed a declaration of emergency over the weather. And you should laugh, but then let's also think of what actually, that's a COVID-style power grab because of the weather. 118 degrees, she's like, it's the hottest it's ever been. Now, that's technically true, but if anyone lives in Arizona, it's like once you get over like 113, you're kind of like on the margins, right? It's like the law of diminishing return, right? You're kind of like, it's indecipherable, right? It's not exactly like we're all kind of walking through the park when it's 113. She said, doesn't matter. I need extra power as governor because of the weather. This is coming. I think they're workshopping it right now in Arizona to see how far that they could have people locked down, not go into the office. You saw it with COVID, and they're going to try to do it with climate change. Now, so what else is coming down? Let's just talk about the 2024 election, okay? So Donald Trump will almost certainly be the Republican nominee, okay? Now, that is going to excite some of you or upset some of you. I think this primary is a complete waste of time, I'll be honest. $1.5 billion to find out by how much Trump is going to win is not a fruitful exercise, okay? And you might love DeSantis, you might like Nikki Haley, you might like Mike Pence. That would be really interesting. I'd love to meet you and hear your side out. But the point is this. And for those of you that don't like Trump and you don't understand why he's getting more popular, or maybe the media's here, I can explain it. Because I love the man. For number one, he was a great president. Let's just remember, he was a great president, okay? Number two, no argument, no debate. He was robbed in the 2020 election. He was robbed. Now, to the extent of the robbery, we can debate. No debate that the intel agencies colluded to shut down speech on social media. No debate that we had mass mail-in ballots. No debate that we had illegally changed election laws in Pennsylvania. That is not up for debate. You can read Molly Hemingway's book, Rigged. It goes through it in great detail. So, in some ways, we feel as if this guy was gypped of a second term of American greatness, where the border would be secure and we wouldn't have this proxy war in Ukraine. I could go through the list. You guys know that. And we're angry about that. And you should be. The third thing is this, is that we look at Donald Trump as the only person that understands and is willing to fight what I think is the greatest permanent source against American liberty. The fourth branch of government, the Leviathan, the DOJ, the FBI, the CIA, and all these permanent bureaucrats that hate you and hate your values and seemingly will not be replaced. This is Drain the Swamp 2.0. And we say, you know what? I'm sorry, Nikki Haley. I'm not convinced that you're going to go to Washington, D.C. with a fire-breathing type mandate to go fire the FBI and put them back into where they belong. Like, I actually think Donald Trump means business in a way that we've never seen before in Trump's second term. And so you might be unconvinced by that, but if you argue with reality, you're going to be in hell, as St. Augustine would say. He's going to be the nominee. So therefore you say, but Charlie, he can't win the general election. Where did this idea come from? Because I find it so interesting, right? Because it seems, it's like one of, you, people say, oh, the big lie. This is the big lie. And I'm not saying he's going to win. I actually think that he's the underdog, but this idea that he can't win is peddled by media and by big donors. And I know this sounds overly logical, but he is the only Republican running for president who's been president before. By definition, therefore, he can win because he has won. And so it's like the whole idea that he can't win is if he's like nothing but failed his entire political career, right? And the second thing is, let's just remember 2020. We have this rewriting as if he was like blown out of the water. It's this like whitewashing of history. It's super weird. It's like Maoist. He fell 8,000 votes short in Georgia after one of the most fraudulent exercises we've ever seen. He fell 10,000 votes short in Arizona and 22,000 votes short in Wisconsin. He wins those, he's president. So like, what is this whole idea that he can't win? And that was before we ballot harvested. That's while the intel agencies were suppressing stories. That's while Hunter Biden laptop story wasn't allowed to get out there. That's while all that stuff was happening. And it's like 8,000 votes, 9,000 votes, and 22,000 votes here. And this is going to be even different. Now you might say, well, Charlie, what about the indictments? What about this? Look, if there's really a lot of people that are like, now I'm not voting for Trump because of the indictments, show me that person, okay? If anything, I think it actually wins over sympathetic, open-minded people that are like, okay, now this is getting completely out of control. Like, I don't like the guy, Orange Man Bad, but throwing him in federal prison for 600 years, which brings us back to the Inquisition 600 years ago, is ridiculous, okay? But there's another component of this. We do not know what the 2024 election is going to look like. We have no idea. no labels might be on the ballot, which is going to draw a lot of Democrat votes away in Arizona and Georgia. Cornel West might be on the ballot, who could draw a lot of black voters away in Georgia and Wisconsin. We might have RFK Jr., who I'm afraid would actually draw more MAGA votes than not, so I don't want him to run, but that's a separate issue. But he could disrupt some things. If you think certainly you know how things are going to be in that election, you are way too arrogant. I'll be honest. I don't know, and you don't know. The only thing we know is it's going to be a mess. It's going, and honestly, I give his shot 50-50 because he has a motivated, immovable base with multiple candidates and an unpopular president and a Democrat base that is mad as heck at him because they are, and they're antsy, and he might not even be the candidate. So don't be surprised if there's a bait and switch of Michelle Obama or Gavin Newsom. And I'll get to that in a second. Do not, here's my challenge to you. Understand you're the underdog. Know that will probably not win, but reject the songs of impossibility, okay? So then that's the question. Guess what? That means you can make a huge difference. So let me tell you what I'm doing, and you can translate it. I live in one of the states that will determine the future of the republic. I live in Arizona, okay? I live in, like, the precinct that's going to determine the state and the county that will determine everything, right? And 8,000, 9,000 votes. We are literally raising millions of dollars to go chase ballots because we can't ballot harvest in Arizona. We could chase ballots, do move voter regs. We're going all in. I'm going to do my part because I believe in a God of miracles, and I'm going to hopefully meet God halfway. I'm going to be obedient to the Lord because I love the Lord, and then hopefully he will open up the sea. But guess what? 2016 was a miracle from heaven. It was. Let's remember that. It was 99% chance Hillary Clinton's going to win, and this guy, weeks after the Billy Bush tape, who said something awfully colorful, comes out and wins Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. Guys, we're talking about elections that are on razor of razor thin margins. Reject this narrative from the media that's like, oh, it's all done. It's not all done. It's totally in our hands to make an impact. So anyway, that's a long answer, but I think that's helpful. I know you guys wanted to hear about the election. The other part I will say about this before we get to the next question is the Democrats believe that candidates do not matter. Republicans believe candidates matter too much. And John Fetterman is an example of that. John Fetterman is a brain-dead idiot who should not be a United States Senator. Running up against a very talented surgeon, Dr. Oz, who you might not, he's not as conservative as I am, but he's a smart, accomplished man who saved people's lives, who would have been a terrific U.S. Senator. Like, high IQ, high functioning, best part of his life, Dr. Mehmet Oz, right? And you have the biggest contrast you could imagine, John Fetterman, who cannot string two sentences together, right? How did it happen? It's because Democrats do not care about candidates. They've invested in the boring stuff. You guys know this in Washington, right? Where they go ballot chasing, lawsuits, signature verification. And finally, Republicans are waking up. I'm like, oh my goodness, it's not about who we're running. It's about the tactics. It's about the boring stuff. Here's the good news. In Wisconsin, Arizona, and Georgia, the only three states that matter, everything is changing and people are waking up. You might say, Charlie, what do you mean the only states that matter? The electoral map has changed. Now, I know this in Washington. You guys might not want to hear this. Like, what about Washington? I'm sorry, guys. The Democrats are probably going to win the presidential race in Washington. Okay? You might say, Charlie, that's being pessimistic. Honestly, I believe in a God of miracles. This would be a resurrection-style miracle. Okay? So, which, by the way, I believe in. Awfully rare. We center our whole faith around it. So, if it happens, I'll come back and we'll celebrate it together. But looking at the betting gambling odds, okay, a Democrat will win this state statewide. It's going to come down to a couple states. Donald J. Trump will win Iowa. He will win Ohio. He'll win North Carolina narrowly, and he'll win Florida. You only need to win three more states, which is Arizona, Wisconsin, Georgia. Break out of the media matrix. You take three states to be president. Doesn't matter if you lose New York by 50 million. Doesn't matter if you lose California by 20 million. Doesn't matter if you lose three states. And so if you want to focus your energy, your effort, your prayer, and your fasting, it's eight counties. It's Maricopa County. It's Pinal County. It's Pima County. It's Yavapai County. It's Fulton County. It's Cobb County. It's Gwinnett. It's Joe Davies County, it's Dane County, it's Kenosha County, it's Milwaukee County. If you are not hearing this from your elected national Republicans, they're deceiving you because they want money for their consultants. It's literally going to come down to 9 or 10 counties, everybody. So I dismiss this totally. Donald Trump can't win. With that attitude, he can't. But our attitude, he'll have a fighting shot. I really believe that. Next question.
Hey, Charlie. It's on, right? Got two questions, one for COVID and one for climate change. Do you think COVID was a conspiracy for crowd control and wealth transfer? and climate change. If it's real, why rich people are buying houses next to ocean?
Okay. I like that. That's good. So I have no idea if they launched COVID intentionally or not. I mean, it's Bill Gates has been talking about it. Bill Gates, a fan favorite around here. I'm sure you guys are big fans, right? You know what's so interesting to me is that the home state somebody is from tells you the most about the person. So that's everything I need to know. So here's what I do know is that the government knew that COVID came from a lab. They've lied about it and they still haven't verified it. It was built and constructed as a bioweapon. Whether it was released or not, I don't know. Maybe. Honestly, I'm open-minded to like everything right now, but I don't think that's actually the most important question. The most important question is that they allowed it to spread and wanted it to spread, and they did nothing to stop this, to actually allow the interventions of ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, vitamin D, intravenous therapy, monoclonal antibodies, and they wanted this crisis. That's a more helpful line. Whether or not it was intentionally released on the world, we may never know. And it's honestly, they'll probably do a good job of covering that up, and we'll probably never get to the truth. So that's that. And it was awfully convenient, wasn't it, that it came in an election year and all that, but, you know, coincidences. Second thing, climate change, if they actually believe that. The left doesn't believe anything they say. This is the one cool thing about being a conservative. You could tell this to your friends that are, you know, liberals, is that every single one of your articulated policy positions, you're okay with other people living with and you yourself live with. I'll prove it to you. You want school choice for your kids, and you want that as policy. They don't. They say, oh, no school choice. They send their kids to incredibly expensive boarding schools. We want open borders. While, I mean, driving around some of the nicest houses in Redmond today, they're not a big open border crowd, right? I would think that it's like 14th century France. They got turrets and like armed guards. Like, yeah, open borders. I see like these signs. Diversity is our strength and Black Lives Matter and all this. And like, you can't even see in, right? They got like thermal detection drones. Open borders. They don't believe it. But we're okay with people having gated communities. The first community we should gate is called America. The second one is the question of guns. I'm okay with everybody owning guns. I don't want just a select few of people owning guns. They're not. They want their bodyguards, their people on firearms, but not you. What I'm getting at is left-wing positions are inherently hypocritical and inconsistent with their stated worldview. They don't actually believe in climate change. If they did, Martha's Vineyard would not be going through a real estate boom cycle, okay? They would not be flying private jets. They wouldn't be doing all that stuff, right? So it's important to point that out. I don't know how persuasive it is, but it's true. But also goes to show it can. By the way, it's the same thing with the COVID thing, right? If they actually believe that COVID was such a scare and such a thing against humanity, why did they deploy a bunch of racial arsonists in the street in the name of racial justice in the summer of 2020? So they're simultaneously saying, stay at home, schools can't be open, but unless you want to go like pillage and loot downtown Seattle and go get a bunch of TVs and sneakers, go do it in the name of George Floyd and you'll magically avoid the virus. It's like the most anti-racist virus in the history of the Western world. It's like the virus does not infect you if you just say George Floyd. It like exercises the virus away from you.
America's colleges and universities today are less concerned with critical thinking than with indoctrination. It is no wonder why so many young Americans embrace cancel culture, deny free speech to conservatives, and even celebrate terrorism. But I'm happy to report there is one college where students debate ideas openly and honestly, where they pursue truth together with their professors, and where America's great heritage of liberty is studied and revered. My favorite college, Hillsdale College. As stated in Hillsdale's founding document in 1844, Hillsdale's original mission was to offer the kind of serious liberal arts education needed to preserve the blessings of civil and religious liberty across the land, and this mission continues to guide Hillsdale College today. You can learn more at my favorite college's website, charlieforhillsdale.com. There you will find a short video. It's just over a minute long, showing how Hillsdale's work, not only on its Michigan campus, not only in Washington, D.C. campus, but across the nation, is effective in defending American liberty. Take some time to watch today at charlieforhillsdale.com. That is charlieforhillsdale.com.
Okay, next question.
Hi, Charlie. It's a dream to be able to address you and ask you a question. My name is Evelyn Menzel, and I am not a Sunshine Patriot. I am part of the 3%, and I would hope that when I get arrested that somebody will bail me out. But my question to you is, thank you. I knocked on about over 8,000 doors last election, and a lot of people would tell me, oh, I'm not voting because King County always wins. So I'd like to know, like, your intelligent comebacks. And then the other thing is, when I went to churches to put signs or get petitions, some pastors would tell me, oh, I stick to Jesus, I'm not political. What could I say to them?
First of all, you locked on 8,000 doors. It's amazing. You should be applauded for that. That's incredible. That's amazing. 8,000 doors? That's inspiring. Okay, so to your first question. This is, I have to be honest, of all the complaints I hear them too. I get the emails. This idea that voting is such a time inconvenience is one of the most perplexing. You're not funny, you're not smart, you're not enlightened because you think you're sticking it to the man because you don't fill out your ballot. You're a moron. Okay? I'm not voting because the system is broken. You're an idiot. Okay, you guarantee they win by not filling out the piece of paper. Okay? At least you have a fighting shot. You have 100% likelihood the bad guys love the fact that our side doesn't fill out the piece of paper. And, I mean, I don't know how, I mean, you guys have, like, more ballot referendums than there are Jewish laws. It's unbelievable when I look at, it's like 613. Do you want this pigeon to be preserved? And, like, oh my gosh, like, it goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on. So I get that. It's like a 45-minute thing. In King County, right? So I sort of get that. But for the big stuff, it takes like 5 minutes, right? Now, you should vote all the way through. But I fail to have any sympathy whatsoever for people that have any excuse not to fill out a ballot. They always win. You're a loser, okay? How about you act as if victory is possible? That attitude, you're right, they will win. So I wouldn't treat it very kindly, to be honest, because I think that attitude is so self-destructive. It is a loser, anti-American approach to problems. The greatest generation did not believe, like, well, you know, going to D-Day, you know, look, the Nazis, they're undefeated so far. Like, this is not... And you might say, Charlie, how dare you compare the King County Democrats to the Nazis? Totally intentional, by the way. So, how about a little bit of faith, a little bit of hope? And just, like, making excuses all the time is ridiculous. Second part, look, I talk about this a lot. This, if you guys, a little shameless plug, if you would take out your phone and subscribe to my podcast, you can hear about this a lot. I'd love a chance to earn, to be a daily news source for you. We work our tail off, and I think we do a pretty good job. So thank you guys for considering that. I mean that. Thank you. Any pastor that says, you know, I don't do politics, they should resign from the ministry. And here's why. It's that these are not political issues, they're biblical issues. Okay, I just had Mark Driscoll on my podcast. He did a great job talking about this. It went totally viral. And, you know, I got to tell you that if you look at any question, right, how should government be formed? You know, what is a human being? Separation of powers. These are biblical questions. The founding fathers cited Deuteronomy more than any other book, secular or religious, when they were founding our country. So I'm just curious that when they say, I only do the gospel, if that's the case, why did Jesus quote Leviticus and Deuteronomy so often? But by the way, the gospel speaks directly to the times of today. So ask that pastor next time, hey, what did Jesus say about going after kids? It's better for a millstone to be hung around their neck and thrown into the ocean than go after a little one of these. I don't do politics. And you have to say, look, bro, because they're probably wearing skinny jeans and not a muscle mass in sight. Listen, bro, trying to fit in with the hipsters. Yeah, we're going to win over the Seattle hipsters by dressing like them. All right, okay, sure. Let's be honest. You're in the ministry because you want to be popular and agreeable. The standards of being in the ministry is higher. This says all throughout the book of Jude, all throughout the New Testament. It's alluded to in Leviticus and different, the priestly class, the Hebrews. But being a pastor, you have different rules, different expectations. It's okay if you're not called into the ministry. I'm not even saying, but if you step up and you say, I am a pastor, I am a minister, at that moment, you're held to a different standard. Totally different standard. And if their standard is, I want to be nice, which by the way means ignorant in the original etymology of nice, just an interesting little thing, not a biblical word, doesn't appear in the scriptures once. Nice is a totally created thing. Then, honestly, you have to ask them, did Jesus not say that he brought truth to this world? Like, when was the last time you talked about the truth? If you don't think the Bible is a lens to view all of our current events happening in real time, well, then I got news for you. You're not equipped to be a minister at this time. And so that's how I would talk to them. Good luck.
Hello. Hi. Charlie.
Where am I at?
Over here.
Oh, wow. Okay. Hi. Misdirection pleasure.
I think that maybe I'm speaking for some in the room that have been a bit demoralized about watching the Uniparty happening within the Congress, the Rhino Republicans and the Communist Democrats seeming to join forces when we had the House, and it seems like we've squandered away some potential gains. And so how can we as a party do better?
Yeah, so I come from Illinois, so I have sympathy on both sides of this because Illinois is very similar to Washington. Here's my rule, is that obviously vote your district, vote how you said you were going to vote with your voters. My biggest complaint, though, is when people who represent very conservative districts or very conservative states don't vote in alignment with their voters. That's where my criticism goes. If you're in a swing district in the suburbs of Seattle, I actually have a lot of flex in the joints for you. I do. I get it. Not an easy job. You have to navigate that stuff, right? And I mean, on a state and a federal level. So I look at North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma. Are we being honest when we say that those senators are as conservative as their voters? Not even close, right? That's a problem. And I think that creates a lot of frustration and anger. Look, there is a uniparty in D.C., though, that exists. And the uniparty, they think everything's generally okay. They don't see the they don't want to talk about the cultural issues. They don't want to talk about security. They'll dance on the edges of securing the southern border. And so I'll be very honest. Like, we should have pulled all funding from the Department of Justice the first time they even whispered about indicting Donald Trump. We said, you're done. You're not getting any more taxpayer money. You're completely defunded. And people say, well, Charlie, that's really radical. No, them indicting Donald Trump is radical. This is rational, okay? Using the purse to say stop is the role of Congress. And I could editorialize this, but the problem is less about Congress, and this is why we need a president where the number one mandate is, and I don't mean to be overly academic, the bureaucracies are against all of you. And it is deeper and worse than you could ever imagine. You can call it the deep state, the shadow government, the Leviathan, but this is a permanent multi-million person standing army for the Democrat Party and for their aims, wants, and ambitions against all of your value system. And it doesn't need to be reformed. It needs to be just abolished and smashed. And what's happened is Congress is not nearly as powerful as the bureaucracies are, unless Congress started to threaten not funding them. And that's my biggest complaint, is that, you know, they're debating like, well, we don't want to shut down the government, you know, coming in. And it's like, I've got to be honest, like, you better shut down the government. We have a southern border where 6 million people are invading, and we spent $200 billion in Ukraine. Like, we have a DOJ that is putting the number one political dissident, who is a former president facing 600 years in prison, and we're funding the FBI and the DOJ with every one of their wish list items. Like, we're giving the FBI a new building. You know this? We're giving the FBI a new corporate headquarters of tens of billions of dollars. And so forget impeachment or arrest. I would love to see all that. They can't do that. They can't do arrests. They can do impeachment. They should impeach Joe Biden, but they probably won't, unfortunately. And that's just such a disappointment. Just focus on the funding, okay? By the way, the Democrats do this to all the time. They hold our funding hostage, and we don't play by their same rules. And here's why. Most Republicans in the Republican Party, unfortunately, in D.C., play by this, like, fake gentleman rules. And it's disappointing. There are some really good ones out there. The Speaker of the House is a great step in the right direction. He is better than Paul Ryan. But let's not lie to ourselves. This is way disconnected from the fighting force that we need from the Republican Party to represent you against the beast that is Washington, D.C. Thank you. Next question.
Charlie, thank you so much. Sean Needham. And early on in your presentation, you talked about the left is good at destroying beautiful things. My wife and I are both pharmacists, and we would like to know what your answer is to fix health care, considering the left has hijacked health care.
Yeah, so it's a deeper and longer answer than I think we have time. I know you've composed a whole book on it, and I look forward to going through it. The way we do healthcare in this country is wrong. It's really sick care to the food we eat, to how we treat our bodies, to how we talk about this. I have a lot of hope. I think there is this revival in America happening, and you can see it on YouTube, honestly, of young people that are caring about longevity and nutrition and intermittent fasting and cold plunges and saunas. And you might laugh at that. It's actually super interesting about how there's more Americans than ever looking at their blood work and their vitamin D levels and increasing testosterone. And there's a doctor, Peter Attia, who's like the number one best-selling author of the last 30 days, who has a book all about how you could take better control of your life. And so how do we reclaim healthcare? First, forget politically. We have to eat better. We have to be healthier. We have to be better versions of ourselves, right? And that's not a message that always audiences want to hear, right? But it's true, because health outputs can be changed based on small decisions we make of foods we stop eating or foods we start eating. And so that's number one. I think it's really empowering, honestly. And I wish our government would have said, hey, get your vitamin D levels checked. And if it's not above 50, supplement it, instead of saying take an mRNA gene-altering shot that we haven't even tested that is quote-unquote safe and effective. If we would have done a national vitamin D campaign, that would have been far more effective than the stupid vaccine that they were forcing down people's throats in the midst of COVID. And so I don't mean to belabor it too much. Our healthcare system's super broken. We are going very soon. We're going to have a nationalized healthcare system. It's coming. It's already here in some ways. And then we're going to have a hyper-elite, pay-for, private billionaire healthcare system, if you can afford it. It's all doctors, on-demand concierge. And most of you are going to be forced into the government-type healthcare system. And what we learned from healthcare, in my personal opinion, is three main things. Just because you're a doctor doesn't mean you're right. Number two, the number one way that they're going to control the masses tyrannically is through the auspices of healthcare. And number three, they do not care about science. They care about listening to scientists they like. Those are the three big takeaways as we now re-engage with a healthcare conversation in this country. So thank you very much. Appreciate it. Next question. We have 7 minutes left.
We have two questions over here. A first question, what would you recommend for young conservative men in college who are berated for simply just being men?
Okay.
And then second question, me and my friends here, we attend university in the Seattle area, which is tough sometimes, but I'm just wondering, what are some recommendations you have for us to be politically active as Republicans in a really liberal area?
Give it up for them. Yeah. Is that not great? I'm telling you, the men are rising in a big way. It's going to be a beast they can't control, and it scares them. You want to see these New York Times reporters shiver like a leaf? It's all of a sudden the rise of toxic masculinity. And by the way, these are the men reporters that are shivering like a leaf. Okay, get involved with Turning Point USA. We'd love to have you guys start a chapter, come to our events, and equip you. But I will say this. So what you can do, you're not going to win majority of the people over as friends, but you have to own being different. You have to own being in the minority, but use it as an opportunity to metaphorically strengthen your political muscles while you're in an ideological minority. You're going to have to debate everybody, and you're going to become really talented because you're going to know every one of their arguments. This is why we're going to eventually beat the liberals. I think we actually do have, eventually truth is going to win, because our young people they're master class debaters. They know what they believe and why they believe it because they constantly have to justify their position. The other side does not, because it's just fed to them and it's normal and it's acceptable. And so that's number one. And so just the second thing is become a lifelong learner. This is something that I try to do. I read 2 hours a day. I read 70 books a year, right? I love learning. I think that God built an intelligible world because he loves us and that we can find out about the world. I think learning is one of the coolest things we get to do as human beings. And I'm afraid that we as conservatives have lost this kind of quest for learning. I'm starting to see it come back in a really big way. You say, Charlie, what does that mean? Just read old books and texts and commentaries and listen to podcasts that challenge you. Let me broaden this for the whole audience. Can I give a recommendation, guys? Stop watching empty calorie white noise cable TV. Stop it. You're like, what does that mean? If you're just watching 5 or 6 minute segments of Trump versus Biden or this, listen to podcasts and videos that dive deep. There is a bigger game at play here, everybody, than just Trump versus Biden. You'll find yourself all of a sudden being happier about the news because somebody spent an hour and a half into one subject. We try to do this on our podcast. What I'm getting at is that is much more fulfilling than just kind of the... Here, it's really interesting. I know this is a sidebar, but if you are If you are watching your news with your eye, you're being manipulated. This is why Rush Limbaugh was so powerful, because it was through the ear. The Old Testament actually talks about this, the Shema, which is in Deuteronomy. Hear me, O Israel. Time and time again, it's the power of the ear over the eye. I recommend for you to consume more news audibly than visually. If the best way is actually to read the news, actually on a piece of paper, if you trust it. Second best, though, is through podcasting or radio. And that is why Rush Limbaugh had an attachment with his audience more than any other person in media of the last 100 years. You think about it. It's because I think that the ear is far more effective in reaching widespread audiences. So listen to podcasts, do that, become a lifelong learner. And finally, enjoy being a rebel, because it's fun. You're going to be called names. You're going to be canceled. You're going to be called racist and transphobic. These are degenerate, awful people that are trying to get in the way of truth. Smile, be a happy warrior, prove them wrong, and own it. Honored to have you in the fight, guys. Thank you. Okay, last question. This will be the final question. Where are we at?
What is your favorite newspaper? I personally like Epoch Times.
I love the Epoch Times.
Full of great.
So my favorite website, I used to love Drudge before they went communist, right? Oh my gosh, what happened to them? I love citizenfreepress.com. Is anyone familiar with that website? They are so good. And I happen to be biased. I know the owner really well. And we have him on the show all the time. It's called citizenfreepress.com. It's the new Drudge Report. And he's updating it all the time. It's an aggregator of articles. I love aggregation because I get to pick, and it's really great. The other thing, I actually got my news from Telegram. Does anyone else get your news from Telegram? That's the real patriots. The real patriots are Telegram patriots, right? And you're like, what is Telegram? It's fun. You download the app, you can message your friends, and you can get the news that any sort of filter and bias. And the government hates Telegram. So anyway, those are my things. All right, let me close with this, guys. Yes, the odds are stacked against you here in Washington. So what? You have a choice. You can complain and go home and do nothing. Or you can say, I still live in a beautiful country. I live in a beautiful state. We are going to harvest ballots. We are going to become precinct committeemen. We're going to stay engaged. We're going to stay active. And you still might get your teeth kicked in here or there. But the greatest threat to tyranny is a restless, truth-seeking, liberty-loving, patriotic remnant. And that is you. You're never going to give up. You're not going to surrender. You're going to educate your kids the way you can. You're going to help the freedom fighters on campuses. You're going to call out tyranny. You're going to file lawsuits. You're going to show up to events like this, and you are going to be relentless and restless. Because I believe firmly that these bad guys, I think they're going to break into a million pieces eventually. They are overreaching. These are evil people. Evil does not have a permanent monopoly when good people stand up against it. I don't know when it's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to happen. But I believe that somehow, some way, because of the faithful works of you and because of a loving God, we're going to defeat these woke degenerates, and we're going to have a lot of fun while doing it. God bless you, and God bless Washington. Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
Turbulent times call for clear-headed insight. That's hard to come by these days, especially on TV. That's where we come in. Salem News Channel has the greatest collection of conservative minds all in one place. People you know and trust, like Dennis Prager, Eric Metaxas, Charlie Kirk, and more. Unfiltered, unapologetic truth. Find what you're searching for at snc.tv and on Local Now, Channel 525.